Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And good morning. You guys are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. First up, we have Richard van Zyl-Smit, and we are going to be chatting about flu season. So let us have your questions on our WhatsApp number, and we'll put them straight to our guest. Is it COVID? Is it swine flu? Or is it just flu? We look forward to hearing from you. Let us have your questions on the studio WhatsApp number straight after this.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
When it comes to saving money on medicine prices every day, Dis-Chem Pharmacies is your first choice. Not only do we charge preferred dispensing fees, but our wide range of cost-saving generics comply with your medical aids rules to help your benefits go further. We'll take care of all your scripts, repeats, and even send you script reminders. Our dedicated pharmacists and nurses are here to guide you. Step into a world where your health truly matters. Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us on this fantastic Monday morning. I'm joined by Richard van Zyl-Smit. We had a little bit of a late start. My apologies, Richard, for that. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. A little chilly here in Cape Town, but I suspect the cold weather is going to be heading up the rest of the country as well.
You're welcome to keep it for yourself if you don't mind. So, speaking about chili, let's get into, obviously, flu season now. What are the different flus that we're facing? And let's break down the difference between normal flu, COVID-19, and swine flu.
So, Nicholas, I think it's important to take even one step further back, that there's the common cold, and then there's flu.
Yes.
So, most runny noses, a bit of a sore throat, is the good old common cold, which is irritating but doesn't really cause much more trouble. When you start getting into the influenza, it's a different virus, and this is the one that we particularly worry about, because this can be nasty. This is the one that can end up in hospital. This is the one that can end up in ICU. And so I think we often say, oh, I have flu, but more often than not, it's probably just a common cold. But when the symptoms start becoming more systemic, when you're having fevers and chills and aches and pains, that's more likely to be an influenza virus and or COVID. And that's when things need to be taken a little bit more seriously.
And that's probably the biggest challenge for us. How do we tell the difference? How do we differentiate? And I'm quite sure you've dealt with this before. How do we not overreact?
So I think it's difficult. There's a kind of very simple rule of above the neck and below the neck. If it's just in your head, if it's just a runny nose, sore throat, and your muscles aren't aching, it's probably just a common cold. That just needs maybe a little bit of a painkiller, sort of over-the-counter so-called cold and flu remedy to help with the congestion. Doesn't need much more. When you start feeling short of breath, when you start having fevers, we call them rigors, or those uncontrolled shakes, that's more in keeping with an influenza, because it impacts on the whole body rather than just the so-called upper airways or upper part of the nose and throat.
Right. With the difference between the two, what are what are the effects on the body? So let's look at the common cold, then to flu, COVID, and swine flu.
So common cold, often something called a rhinovirus. Sometimes we see an RSV, different in children. So we're just focusing on adults for the moment. RSV is particularly an issue for young children. But if we're talking teenagers and adults, common cold is just going to give you a sore throat, runny nose. You'll be sick for a day or two, and nothing more than that. The influenza viruses and COVIDs and or swine flu, I'll come back to the differentiation in a second. You can't tell what you've got until someone tests you. And so
Right.
some people argue, oh, well, there's no point testing, but actually it probably is important to test. And we now have what's called a respiratory virus panel, which is just a swab like we had in COVID. We can send off a sample to the lab and they can tell you what you've got. And so those I think are important to have done, and that's how we know what's circulating is because people are testing, and National Center for Infectious Diseases puts out the weekly, monthly graphs as to where we're going. So just let's talk quickly about influenza. So influenza, there's A, B, C, and D. A is the one that tends to affect humans. B, C, and D affect animals and don't really cause too much trouble. And then in influenza A, they are labeled H and N. So you can have H, I think it's 1 to 18, and N 1 through 9. So you have H1N1, H1N2. And so these viruses circulate. And so the swine flu that we all know about was a novel from pig influenza A, H1N1. So they labeled where they come from, the year they come from, and how many N's and H's they have. And it very much depends what we as humans have encountered before. If we have not seen, and we hadn't
What
seen
scene
that
we
particular
can't
strain of H1N1 swine flu, which caused chaos, people were so sick, people died from it. I think I had it myself. I was so horribly sick. I don't think I've ever been that sick in my life before. No, I wasn't tested, but it's a nasty one that we haven't seen. And so the influenza viruses change year on year, and it very much depends what we've seen before, what we have circulating, as to how nasty it's going to be.
Right.
The
Prof,
COVID
just
virus.
before we carry on, if I can jump in, we're just going to go to a live read and then we'll come back and chat about the COVID virus. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem pharmacies. Better health starts here.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
When it comes to saving money on medicine prices every day, Dis-Chem Pharmacies is your first choice. Not only do we charge preferred dispensing fees, but our wide range of cost-saving generics comply with your medical aids rules to help your benefits go further. We'll take care of all your scripts, repeats, and even send you script reminders. Our dedicated pharmacists and nurses are here to guide you. Step into a world where your health truly matters. Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning. We're chatting with Professor Richard van Zyl Smit, consultant pulmonologist at Groote Schuur Hospital. Prof, sorry for interrupting you there before you got on to COVID. Can we pick it up again with COVID, please?
Certainly. So influenza is its own virus, and then COVID is a SARS-CoV. It's a coronavirus. We know it as COVID-19 because that's the year it was discovered, and that's why it's the COVID we know about is labeled 19. It's a slightly different virus, and everyone will know about all the weird things that happened with COVID, the long COVID, post-COVID, and that's because of the sort of crown of immune proteins on the COVID virus that tends to cause weird things. Now, We will all remember the various phases of COVID. Some were really nasty, some were much milder. And at the moment, there are still COVID viruses circulating around the world. And they come in different strains as they mutate over time. Thankfully, at the moment, the COVID viruses that seem to be circulating don't really cause much more trouble than a common cold or mild influenza. And so it is almost impossible to work out, do you have COVID or do you have influenza without testing? And that, again, from a public health point of view, is quite useful. If we take ourselves to our doctor and get tested, may not necessarily change what we're going to do, but it does help inform all the rest of us working in the space.
What is the point, really? And I think let's look at parents quickly, because we have been chatting about adults. What is the point when parents should start consider taking their kids off to the doctor to be tested, and then for themselves? When should us adults be saying, okay, it's really aching and paining below the neck, I'm not feeling great, when do I go for a test, or do I just ride it out in bed, as I think many people do?
So I think it depends on who you are and what your, what we call, comorbid status is. If you're a fit and healthy 35-year-old having flu, I would recommend probably we can just ride it out. If you have heart disease, diabetes, or underlying asthma or COPD, emphysema, or other medical conditions, or you are in the elderly grouping, now I'm heading towards 60, so I'm not quite there yet, but you know, 60s, 70s, then I would seek medical help just to be certain. And the other reason to seek medical help is that there are some medications that are available for influenza. You may have heard of oseltamivir. These are medications specifically that the H part and the N part that deal with the N part of influenza viruses. They're not brilliant, but they do reduce symptoms and risk for hospitalization. And so in the early phases of acute influenza, it may be very useful to have a drug like oseltamivir on board if you are at risk. And so it doesn't work for COVID, doesn't work for the common cold, hence why testing is important. And it reduces risk of progression. So if you don't want to end up in hospital because you've got heart disease and asthma and COPD, those patients are particularly high risk. That's really it's most useful. Young and healthy, a little bit of aspirin or Panado or some Brufen, an over-the-counter flu remedy is going to help with your symptoms, the congestion, the fevers. It's not going to make the influenza go away any faster. It just makes you feel better.
Okay. That is something to take into account, that if you are feeling better, don't do silly stuff like going for a run or going to the gym and pushing yourself physically. Rather focus on the rest and taking it easy and looking after yourself.
Absolutely. Again, the runners have the simple rule: above the throat, below the throat. Mm-hmm. If it's just in your head, you can exercise. If it's worse than that, don't. Again, there's no science to that. But absolutely, if you certainly are feeling aches and pains, do not go and exercise. There are some nasty conditions like myocarditis, for example, that every now and again you will hear of a story of a perfectly fit, young, healthy person who went exercising with their flu and got into big trouble. So yes, it's rare, but it's just not worth the risk. And we learned at COVID, right, to just take a day off, have a rest, look after yourself. And I think we've forgotten about that. We may not need to isolate as much as we did during COVID, but, you know, don't go and exercise, stay at home, eat and drink healthy, bit of extra fluids, good old chicken soup for what it's worth. But actually, let's take care of ourselves and, as you say, not be silly and go out and exercise and push things when we are ill.
I think that's such a valid point, firstly, in terms of looking after ourselves, but when we're sick, but looking after ourselves in order to either not get sick or reduce our risk. What can we be doing to, and I suppose it's a common sense question, but people do need to hear it again. What can we be doing to look after ourselves and minimize our chance of getting sick or the impact of that flu or virus?
Yeah, so I mean, the first thing is flu vaccine. They are available at the moment. Everyone says, oh, I took the flu vaccine, it didn't work. Well, it probably did work. You just got a common cold and you don't know that you weren't that sick. And also it's important to just from a flu vaccine point of view to understand that the way it works is we look to see what happened in the Northern Hemisphere winter. I mean, the scientists, not me specifically, they then look to see what the viruses were, the various H and N combination, and then what a common one is, and then they put together three or four. Sometimes mm-hmm. they get it perfectly right, and all the viruses that are circulating are in the vaccine. Sometimes they miss one, and so the virus that's circulating is not in the vaccine. But flu vaccine, absolutely important. Healthy eating, fruit and veg, my personal favorite topic, not smoking. Smoking mm-hmm. increases your risk for influenza. And then just being sensible. And I think we learned from COVID about protecting each other. I now get quite irritated if someone's coughing and spluttering next to me. It's like, just stay at home. Don't share your viruses.
That's such a fantastic point to wrap up on. Stay home. Don't share your viruses. Don't smoke. Look after yourself. Professor Richard van Zyl-Smit, consultant pulmonologist at Kruidvat Hospital. Thank you so much for joining us from a cold. Is it rainy down there, by the way?
Cape Town. It stopped raining. It's coming north, I'm afraid. But thanks for having me.
All right. Really great to have you on, Prof. A quick point. In Standard 9 in high school, 1987, I worked on the construction of the new Kruidvat Hospital. So absolutely love that place. So really cool. Thank you, Professor, for joining us.
Thanks. Enjoy your day.
Right. And up next, we are going to have Craig's up next. He's giving me an indicator. We're going to an ad break.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And welcome back to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. We were chatting with Professor Richard van Zyl-Smit about the different things that make us ill at this time of year. Now, we're going to be chatting with Simone Blichnoot, registered dietitian in private practice, about Comrades diets. And having been down at my first Comrades Marathon yesterday ever, I can tell you it's quite a race. Simone, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me today.
It was the couple of things that I noticed just before we kick off with the athletes, because we were at the Chabad Tefillin stand where at about 60 kilometers into the race in Hillcrest, and there were two main requests that we were getting from the runners. Do you have salt? Do you have water? And lastly, do you have ice? And then they were going mad for those goo sachets with different carbohydrates and caffeine in them and protein bars and so on. So let's chat first about what happens to the runners during the run and in terms of what they're eating. And then let's look at how do they prepare.
Okay, cool. So what I usually do with my clients, especially my marathon runners and my comrade runners, is
your lunatics.
We start to focus in the training block already. So you have to, it's very, very important to start with your nutrition in your training block. You can't only focus on race day and think, let's try all these new things. So it is very specific to the specific runner. But generally, just to simplify it a little bit, while you are running, you are using your carbohydrate stores called glycogen. So that's kind of what your body uses when you go into endurance sport and you need to get energy quickly. Our main source of energy is called glucose. So that's the sugar in your bloodstream, and that gets absorbed by your cells and that produces energy then. So when we're training and when we're running, your body uses that very, very quickly. So then it does need to start breaking down your glycogen stores. Now, when your glycogen stores are depleted, you feel like a big slump and you feel like that energy just feels depleted and you feel like you can't go on. So with the carbs and with the gels and everything, it is about making sure that your glycogen stores doesn't fully deplete and making sure that you have that sustainable energy throughout your run.
So you mentioned a point which I think is so important. You said with regards to individualization. Yes. Of nutrition and nutrition planning. So exactly. Let's chat about that. How important is it? Because my understanding with the Comrades Marathon, just chatting about this in particular, is the human body is not designed to run over that kind of distance. And how important is individual approach to nutrition leading up to that run?
It's extremely, extremely important, not only from the performance-based, but also from your health. So if you have kidney problems or if you are not used to fueling and your gut health isn't that great, it is a little bit difficult to just put a one-size-fits-all for all these athletes. So if we're thinking about gut health, you also need to train your gut to be able to tolerate the gels. So a lot of pro athletes, they can do a lot of carbs all at once, like 90 grams of carbs. But if you haven't practiced with that in your training block and you try to do a 90 gram gel, it's not going to go good for you. You're going to find the nearest toilet and be stuck there for a while.
Right. And so with their training, is this something that people can test on their own, or should they really, if they're wanting to be taking their race seriously in terms of medaling and also in terms of safety, should people be looking at working with dietitians as part of their training at this level of sport?
I think it is very important, especially with these long distances, to make sure that you have a checkup of a dietitian, to make sure that your kidney function is okay, that your muscle mass is doing okay, to make sure that you are recovering properly as well, and also to make sure that you find the nutrition that works for you specifically, because there are so many things out there in the market and it's so difficult. Obviously, you can go and you're going to go taste every single gel, but without the proper guidance, I feel like you're just going to go in circles with your nutrition.
Right. So if someone is wanting to work with a registered dietitian, in your ideal world, what would that process be? When would the athlete come to you? How far ahead of the race? Is it a year, 2 years, and so on? We've spoken about gut health. This is not stuff that turns around immediately. So when should they, from your ideal world, when should athletes be approaching a dietitian?
I feel if someone is looking to do a Comrades Marathon, I feel that they should already be seeing a dietitian when they are doing other races as well, like their marathon, their qualifying marathon, because you also want to practice what you're going to do on race day as well. So I like to see clients that are going to run these distances a while back, like when you start with your training block and you have this goal that you want to run this race, I would say you start there. You can't only bring the nutrition in the last few weeks of your training block, because it's not enough time to practice it. So I would say when you're starting your training block, then you go and see a dietitian as well to make sure, because it's the gut health is very important, but it's also about recovering properly, making sure you're getting the right hydration and making sure that you're not breaking down muscle mass, and because that is also going to affect your running on race day.
Right. So seeing some of the runners post-race, and I want to talk about the actual race itself, which we will do straight after these ad breaks. And I want to also chat about why some athletes looked fantastic and others looked absolutely terrible a few hours after the race. Right. Attention, small business owners. Boost your brand with an unbeatable advertising deal on 101.9 High FM. Get 5 ads per day for 5 days for just 5,000 Rand. This stimulus campaign is perfect for businesses looking to make a splash. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to reach your audience and grow your business. Interested? Email info@highfm.co.za or text 061-895-1019 today.
High FM, your station of choice since 2008.
When it comes to saving money on medicine prices every day, Dis-Chem Pharmacies is your first choice. Not only do we charge preferred dispensing fees, but our wide range of cost-saving generics comply with your medical aids rules to help your benefits go further. We'll take care of all your scripts, repeats, and even send you script reminders. Our dedicated pharmacists and nurses are here to guide you. Step into a world where your health truly matters. Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It is the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. I'm chatting with Simone Blichnote, registered dietitian in private practice. And what a fantastic topic our producer Sina has got for us, the nutrition and diet for Comrades runners. Having just seen the guys come watching this race, my first Comrades ever, Simone, was unbelievable. What are the effects that happen to the body while you're running the race, and why is it that some athletes look so good after the race a couple of hours later and some look like an absolute like they're in a lot of pain and they can't move?
There are a few things that are happening nutritionally when you are running the Comrades. Is one of the things is your glycogen stores starts breaking down. You have this high demand for energy, and your body starts taking up a lot of sugar into the cells, and that causes your glycogen stores also to get depleted. And if we are not fueling properly, your blood sugar will also be dropping in that time. And every time your blood sugar drops, you feel hungry, you feel tired, you feel like you're lacking some energy. Now, doing that for that long distance, if you are not maintaining your fueling and your energy levels and your glucose levels, your blood sugar will drop a lot. And afterwards, you will feel that effect of your blood sugar that has been dropping. Another aspect is also the rehydration and making sure you're getting enough salts in, you're getting enough electrolytes in, because that can also cause a lot of cramping and also make you feel like a little bit dizzy and just generally not feel great. And I think also just doing that distance, you're not going to come out of that distance feeling absolutely fantastic, but there are a few things you can do to make sure you're feeling the best you can after the race.
What are some of those things, and how quickly should runners be eating? What should they be eating, and what should they be using to hydrate their bodies again?
So in terms of afterwards, afterwards, I would usually say within 30 minutes, you want to make sure that you're getting some form of nutrition back into the body. And this needs to be protein, carbohydrates, electrolytes, water, etc. So we want to focus on some protein, some carbs, some water, but easily digestible sources. We don't want to be having something with a lot of fiber in directly after the race, because that will delay digestion and make it like take it a little bit longer for it to be absorbed into your body and help with the recovery process. The reason I'm saying within like 30 minutes is we still have a nice blood flow to the muscle, and your body can use those nutrients optimally to recover then.
Right. If we look at, I was having a chuckle because post race we were having Boerewors rolls. So there's protein. We really do need to be focusing on stuff that's easy for the body to use and digest, and not stuff that's going to take a lot of energy, right?
Exactly, yes.
So if we look at now, we've got runners, it's day one after the race. We've got a couple of days now, weeks maybe, that people are going to be replenishing their bodies. What should people be looking at eating and drinking? And also, what should they be avoiding?
So this is a very difficult period I usually see, because people have been training so hard for this race, putting in the nutrition, and they just feel like they want to relax. So a lot of people do is they just let loose and eat whatever. You still need to focus. And usually what happens is they do eat a lot of carbs and a lot of fat, And it's not wrong to be eating carbs to replenish the body, but you also want to remember to focus on protein levels and just managing your portion sizes as well, and not letting completely loose and just doing a bunch of takeouts and a bunch of everything you want to, you see you want to eat type of situation. You just want to make sure that you're returning back to some healthy meals, spreading it out throughout the day, getting some vegetables in, etc.
So if someone is wanting to celebrate and have a bit of a binge, sort of how far long after the race, a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, should they, can they safely, shall we say, go big?
I feel like people should be celebrating after a big race like that. But I feel the mentality of like binging and going big, and like it kind of puts it in a negative space. Like you can still have a healthy meal and then enjoy a piece of cake afterwards when you're celebrating. Because if we're going to put it in that context, it's going to come, like it's going to have a very negative association with it. And then you feel like, oh, I need to get back on track, etc. So you just, I would say it's not wrong to be celebrating, but still make sure that you're getting in the nutrition that your body needs after the race and not completely letting go of that.
I absolutely love that point, because don't then go so big that you have to go for another 40K run 2 days later.
Exactly.
Because you're wanting to punish yourself for what you ate.
Okay. Exactly.
How big a risk is alcohol post-race? We know it's a diuretic, but you know, if someone wants to have a glass of champagne or a glass of wine or a beer or a whiskey, is that okay, or should they wait a few days just for the hydration levels in, and the sodium levels in the body to stabilize?
It's very patient-to-patient scenario, but what I generally say is just make sure that your hydration is okay before you start drinking. Don't be completely dehydrated, lacking all the water before you start. I was laughing a lot because I see a lot of people after races going to the pubs and stuff, and then first mixing in their electrolytes before they have their beer. And that is actually, like, you should be making sure that your hydration is completely fine before you start drinking.
Right. And a great way to check that is going to the loo, the color of your urine, your pee, if it's clear, you're okay. All right, 100%. I mean, if there's any red in it, definitely don't be drinking and go and get that checked out, because we do tend to hammer our kidneys over this distance. Absolutely fantastic. One of the things I wanted to touch on just before we go to the next ad break is, why were so many people shouting at us, salt, do you have any salt?
It's mostly for the cramping. So the electrolytes and does help us to prevent the cramping, especially sodium does help to prevent the cramping and help with the cramping. So the people are probably just cramping a lot when they were screaming for salt.
Yes, the people who were screaming for salt were not running quickly. So no, we felt their pain. We're going to go to ad break now. And when we're back, just before we wrap up, I'd like to chat to you about, we're a year away from the next Comrades. What should people who haven't run it yet but want to be looking at doing with the nutrition? And we'll get to that straight after this ad break.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
When it comes to saving money on medicine prices every day, Dis-Chem Pharmacies is your first choice. Not only do we charge preferred dispensing fees, but our wide range of cost-saving generics comply with your medical aids rules to help your benefits go further. We'll take care of all your scripts, repeats, and even send you script reminders. Our dedicated pharmacists and nurses are here to guide you. Step into a world where your health truly matters. Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. We're chatting with Simone Blichnote, registered dietitian. Just as we wrap up talking about what Comrades runners should be having next year, another quick question just popped into my head, Simone. What should the spectators who are standing on the side of the road for that race endurance be looking at doing in terms of making sure they don't feel too bad the next day? And then what advice for new runners?
So when you're standing on the side, I think you just want to make sure that you're having regular meals and snacks, because you get caught up in the race and you sometimes do forget to eat and forget some meals, and you're standing outside the entire day. So making sure that you're hydrating as well. And yes, that's the advice.
Thank you. Awesome. And now for new runners wanting to run the race next year, what should they be doing today, or can they wait a little bit and pick it up in a few months' time? Or is it better to start building those good habits now?
So I would say if they're completely new runners, definitely to start today if they're planning on running the Comrades next year. But depending on where they're at, they should be starting like now, I would say. So if you're not used to fueling and you're not used to having the proper nutrition, it is very important to start now. And I would say start with making sure that you can eat before, eat during, and so on. A lot of people feel it's very difficult for them to eat before they go for a run because their stomach feels a little bit sore. It makes them feel nauseous. But your gut, you need to train. You can't only train your muscles and train your legs. Your gut is a very important part in this training process because you do need to make your gut used to it. So I would say start off small, start off with something, having something before you go for your runs, having a carbohydrate-based snack before you go for your runs, and then slowly bringing in the fueling in your runs as well, making sure that you're getting nutrition in, figuring out if gels work for you, if bars works for you, if dates works for you, figuring out what is that specific thing that's going to work for you in the race, or if you want to use multiple things in your runs as well. And then I would say, like, before every race that you're doing in preparation for Comrades, also make sure to go see your dietitian, because then you can, like, fine-tune what you're going to do on race day. I like to make sure that clients go in with a plan, so that at every, like, at every 45 minutes or every 6 kilometers, depending on what works for them, they know, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have this. So they don't guessing it and just, like, winging it. We like to make sure that they know exactly what they're going to do and they feel secure because they've tasted it and it is going to work.
Fantastic. And I'm sure it brings a great deal of peace of mind. Perhaps one last question. Do you, as a registered dietitian working with Comrades Runners, have a favorite food or snack for your clients to be eating? What have you seen that's potential? I don't want to say the most beneficial, but what's your favorite?
So personally, I do prefer gels, but a lot of it really depends on the clients. I have clients that do gels or clients that do bars. I have clients that like more food-based type of snacks. It really just depends. And sometimes you're used to the one thing and you just get a little bit over it and you want to try something else, because these gels, it is sometimes a bit difficult, not just to stomach, but also to take in. So you do get fatigued off the taste as well. So it is very, very personalized, I feel.
100%. But again, it's experience, and you've got 364 days to practice and find what works for you. Absolutely fantastic. So, Simone Blichman, thank you so much for what you've shared. I know it's going to be helping guys this year and next year. We really appreciate having you on the show.
Such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was Simone Blichnote, registered dietitian in private practice. We were chatting diets for Comrade Marathon runners. It was an absolutely incredible experience yesterday to be at roughly the 60K mark in Hillcrest, watching these runners come through, pushing themselves, challenging themselves, and particularly after that last gun had gone off, where some of the runners weren't going to make it, they still carried on pushing through. And nutrition is going to be a huge part of that if you want to finish, even if you may not medal. So absolutely incredible to watch. Thank you so much to our wonderful guests, Professor Richard van Zyl, consultant pulmonologist at Kruger de Skeer, and Simone Blichnote, registered dietitian in private practice. Thank you to our fantastic controller on the buttons there, Craig Guthrie, and our wonderful producer, Sina Pabetsi, for putting these shows together. My name is Nicholas Engel, and you've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM, and I'll chat to you next week.